Natural Resources today. Oh, waiting for the light to come on.
We're good.
Go again.
We'll call to order the Senate Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources. Today is the 29th of April. April.
It is.
Right. For a couple of days more.
It looks like August when you look outside, but it's only April.
No. We've got four bills on the agenda today. Scheduled for public hearings and possible work sessions, House Bill 2462, 2910, 2457, and 2579. We're going to start with House Bill 2910 and then go to House Bill 2579 for the first two. So open up a work session on House Bill 2910.
Here comes Mr. Obsolete.
Beth, if you could
Mr.
come
Obsolete.
And you're Beth, if you could briefly tell us what...
Mr. Obsolete.
Oh, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Ted Reutlinger from Legislative Council, and several of you heard this speech yesterday on another bill. House Bill 2910 comes to you because of House Bill 4133 that passed in the 2013 session. That bill directed Legislative Council and DOJ to search for and investigate laws that are obsolete, outdated, or duplicative of other laws, and to work with DOJ and state agencies to identify those and draft them into bills once we got agreement with the agencies. This bill, 2910, is a product of that process. We worked with Oregon State University and the Oregon University system to identify this series of laws relating to agricultural experiment stations. All of the laws that are in this bill are obsolete, no longer being used by the university, and that's why they're included here. And I'd be happy to try and answer any questions that you might have.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
I'll ask you a question. And I ask this with tongue in cheek. There is an emergency clause on this bill. It's an inside joke.
Yeah. Oh, he knows it well.
No. Good bill should pass.
Okay. Any other questions?
I have one. Where was the John Jacob Astor Agricultural Station? Do you happen to know, Ted?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dembro, was your question when?
Where was it? Do you know?
It was in Clatsop County.
Okay. Any other questions? It's actually not the chair's intent to work this bill today, just so you know. I'm not working it today.
What's the relating clause?
The question.
What's the relating clause?
It's relating to agricultural experiment stations. I have no other intentions for the relating clause.
But you opened
just
this,
to clarify.
You opened this as a work session.
No, I opened it as a public hearing.
It's intent. We're okay.
She's okay.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Thank you.
All right.
Would anybody else care to testify on this ground-shaking bill, earth-shattering bill? Okay.
So why don't we move it?
Okay, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2910, and we're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2579.
I don't know.
Chair and committee members, House Bill 2579 would permit a domestic water supply district to perform services for cooperative corporations and mutual benefit corporations that supply water for domestic purposes.
Please come forward.
Chair Edwards, members of the committee, my name is Christy Munson. I'm an attorney representing the Rainbow Water District and the Deerhorn Community Water Association, a private association. And I believe my colleague from Special Districts Association just came.
Forgive me, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mark Landauer. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Association of Water Utilities as well as the Special Districts Association of Oregon. The measure before you was requested by the Rainbow Water District. There is a map, I believe, on OLIS that sort of gives you a perspective as to what they're attempting to do. The challenge that we're trying to address with 2579 is essentially that statute, special districts are a creature of statute, as my colleague would say. And as a result, special districts can only do what they're explicitly authorized to do under the statute. Right now, of course, special districts can enter into intergovernmental agreements with other government entities. However, because water corporations, water co-ops organized under ORS 62 and 65 are not considered government entities, they are. It is a gray issue as to whether or not a special district, in this case a water district, could assist a water corporation or co-op in maintenance issues or billing issues or things of that nature. What this bill simply attempts to do is explicitly authorize special districts, in this case a water district, to enter into agreements with these type of co-ops and corporations that are providing domestic water to citizens of the state of Oregon. My belief is that there are about 180 water corporations throughout the state of Oregon, somewhere about that number. And so this certainly is to assist Rainbow with a certain water district, corporation at this time. But we see that there's broader applicability to the measure as well. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
The only thing I might add, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, is that this promotes resource sharing and efficacy between entities and allows teamwork in communities between governments and private organizations, and both the private organizations and the governments look forward to that kind of teamwork. And the last piece is the gray area is that we've had some case law in Oregon that makes governments and special districts especially abide by the letter of the law to what they're allowed to do in statute. So we just ask for this clarification.
Questions for the panelists? Sir Brzezinski, then Olson.
Yeah. Christy, I know that you're working with Rainbow. I understand the area because Senator Beyer brought this to my attention. There's going to be the bill was going to be before us today. There's an issue that's going on with the golf course that's out in the Deerhorn area wanting to basically become a area for subdivision and houses. Does this bill have anything to do with that, or if any impact that you know from your client's perspective?
Sure. Chair Edwards, members of the committee, I'm not aware of that issue. What I was told from the Deerhorn representatives and the Rainbow representatives is they want to contract together for maintenance primarily because private water associations have a hard time keeping up their licensure and for billing and administrative issues.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Senator Olson.
Yeah, this one here I would ask, why is there not an emergency clause? You can get it going right away.
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, quite honestly, I can't tell you why the bill does not have an emergency clause. We didn't request one. We've been working with both Rainbow and Deerhorn. Frankly, I don't think it really crossed our mind. We were just trying to get the proper language in, and it just didn't cross our mind.
Follow up? Yeah. The time lag is not not relevant then? When it comes in and becomes effective, does it make a difference to you?
Chair Edwards, members of the committee, our clients haven't expressed any interest in a rushed timeline.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Any other questions? All right. What's that? Oh. Okay. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to testify on House Bill 2579? Seeing nobody, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2579 and open up a work session on House Bill 2579.
Chair Edwards, I move House Bill 2579A to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Olson has moved House Bill 2579A to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, are there any objections? Seeing none, motion carries, and Senator Beyer will carry the bill. And with that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2579. And now we'll open up a work session on House Bill 2460. Did I say a work session? I meant
that's what you said last time, too.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. The first one.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for the for that catch. We're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2462. Go ahead, Chris.
Good afternoon, Chair Edwards and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Chris Castelli. I'm a policy analyst with the Oregon Department of State Lands. And a current statute requires the department to requires all property transactions and leases from the state to be deposited and preserved with DSL in a paper copy. This is an outdated requirement that creates a necessary administrative oversight for the department. We would prefer to hold electronic copies of other agencies' property transactions and actually remove leasing from that this requirement as well, because leases are a contract, not necessarily a property transaction. HB 2462 would amend the statute to allow the agency to fulfill its statutory obligation by retaining an electronic copy of land transactions and sales and acquisitions and exchanges. Changing this language would further the department's efforts to store files electronically to reduce the expense of producing and storing paper files. This is the first of probably four DSL bills you guys will see coming over from the House. We think it's good law, and it moves us, you know, towards electronic file keeping. I also want to just note that this was a this bill was really brought from staff level up to the department. That's something that would help them in their day-to-day jobs. So, and also save us some physical space as well. So with that, thank you for the opportunity to testify and be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Of course. Yeah.
What is your system for backup? You would have a copy, and would you have a backup copy in case the original electronic file was lost?
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, that is an excellent question. Right now, we do scan all the documents and have them in a database. And I'm not sure if our backup includes downloading to another storage software we currently have called Laserfish, but I can check into that. The intent, though, would also be is that instead of us holding the physical copies, those physical copies would be held by the state agency that was either the grantor or the grantee. So there should still be a paper copy somewhere, just like we keep our paper copies. But we would meet the requirements of this by having keeping an electronic clearinghouse.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Thompson.
Just out of curiosity, what give me a size. It'll be the size of this room that you keep documents in right now. Like this, how many years do you keep those documents? What are you going to do with all that space?
Chair Edwards, Senator Thompson, right now we used to have two vaults. If you're familiar with the department, we also have we administer the state's unclaimed property division in the states. We had an inner vault for those valuables and an outer vault where we stored these documents. Right now they're up on the fourth floor with our old rulemaking records, with files of the new CARISA going back. So they're up on a somewhat empty fourth floor that we could use for additional storage.
How many years of these documents do you have?
I think the statute's fairly old. We keep them for several years at least, and then I believe we can send them to archives, although if they're sent to archives and someone wants to retrieve them, I believe it's an arduous process. And removing the leases will also actually take quite a bit of the physical space out. That seems to be where we get a lot of batches from agencies is holding leases. And those are actually, out of all the property transactions, those are really the ones you probably actively manage the most.
Thanks.
So this measure is permissive, correct? It doesn't direct you to, it allows you to. Is that?
Let me see here. It says the state must be Chair Edwards, the language in House Bill 2462 continues to state that unless otherwise provided by law, deeds and conveyances belonging to this state must be documented in the office of the Department of State Lands, as opposed to being deposited and preserved.
But there's no fiscal on it because you already...
We do,
you already have that capacity and you already...
Chair Edwards, correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, we're already storing the physical bonds and then scanning them and keeping them electronically as well.
Okay, got it. Okay. Any other questions for Chris? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to testify on House Bill 2462? This is a fairly empty room.
Yeah. Like we could,
Everyone's outside, man.
Yeah, everybody's outside. We need a good relating clause. Okay. Well, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2462 and open up a work session on House Bill 2462.
Chair Edwards, I move House Bill 2462 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Olson has moved House Bill 2462 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion, questions, anything? Okay, seeing none, are there any objections to the motion? Seeing none, the motion carries. Want to Rochambeau for who has to carry the bill? Rock, paper, scissors.
I'll do it.
Okay, Senator Prezonsky?
Sure.
Senator Prezonsky will carry the bill. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2462. And we will now open up a public hearing on the final bill of the day, House Bill 2457. Bob, you want to come forward? And Beth, you can tell us briefly what the bill does.
Mr. Chair and committee members, House Bill 2457A would authorize land partitions for farm or forest parcels straddling a UGB to be smaller than the statutory minimum lot size.
Good morning, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Bob Rindy with the Department of Land Conservation Development. And this bill, we're putting this forward, but it was brought to us by a local government, and we realized pretty quickly this probably is a situation that many local governments might ultimately be in. Urban growth boundaries are for the state, for every city is in an urban growth boundary, and generally in the past those have followed property lines, but more and more, and a good example is Metro, but there's other jurisdictions, more and more local governments are want to follow, for example, a stream corridor. When they do that, there's a chance that they will split properties, and some large farm and forest properties, once they're have a piece inside the boundary, a UGB, and outside, that means that as that property owner gets ready to develop, as that city gets ready to extend services, in the particular case that was brought to our attention, the request was to annex the property. Now, that's not always required for services, but when it is, it becomes problematic. The property that's outside the urban growth boundary is typically not a good candidate for annexation, and landowners don't want to have that happen, and cities don't typically have a farm or forest zone on their own books. So they would, the usually that property would be split. The problem comes up when, because of minimum lot sizes in law, in order to split that property, you would have a remainder outside the UGB that's less than the minimum lot size. That will prevent the land division. So all this bill does is say, in that circumstance, that land can be divided with a portion inside the boundary and a portion out, even if the portion outside the boundary is less than the statutory minimum lot size. And the sidebars are that the land outside is going to be retained for farm and forest use, and the property inside would, of course, be planned and zoned for development as is required for urban growth boundaries. So it's a pretty simple bill. We don't have any opposition. We've worked with all the stakeholders that expressed interest, and this did unanimously pass the House. So that's. I'd be happy to answer questions.
So how often does it happen that a property is split up when an urban growth boundary is established? That it cuts into the
Chair Edwards, Senator Dembrough, I'm sorry, I don't have that answer. We didn't do an inventory. I guess we could find out, but it is rare enough that it hasn't been brought to us till now. But nevertheless, we expect that since the metro boundary itself, and this is probably more in the last decade, that Metro has been carefully trying to follow natural features such as stream corridors, which will create this problem, that we anticipate there'll be more in the future. And it's my understanding from our staff that there are other cities that are doing that as well. I think it's going to be a problem more and more in the future rather than currently. The city that brought this to our attention is Cornelius. They have an active situation where this is occurring, but I think we'll see more.
Thank you.
Okay. This is one of those bills where I understand what you're saying, and it sounds pretty simple. I'm just trying to think, like, what are other potential implications to the urban growth boundary setting process? Are there, I mean, what was the discussion like in the House committee about that, if any?
Mr. Chair, there was no discussion on that topic. In fact, the only discussion we had, the bill as initially drafted, Ledge Council had asked to do some other repairs or updating of that statute, and that did create some problems, and so that's why you have a dash one amendment that eventually went through. But the topic you talked about wasn't discussed there. I can't think of how this would change anything. I guess we could speculate that more local governments would be more and more prone to following natural features because they wouldn't get into this problem.
Right.
But we'd be speculating on that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions, concerns? Is Cornelius in Senator Thompson's district?
No, but it's in Washington.
I was getting mixed. Yeah. I was thinking Corbett. It's not Cornelius.
That was the plan, right?
Yeah. What's that?
We passed the bill and he carries.
Yeah. No, I just didn't want to work the bill if we're talking about something that was in his district.
His district.
When he's out in the hall. So, but he's out in the hall a lot, and so I'm feeling less and less sorry for him all the time. So we're going to close the public hearing on, what's the bill number?
2457A.
Yeah, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2457. We're going to open up a work session on House Bill 2457.
Chair Edwards, I move House Bill 2457A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Olson has moved House Bill 2457A to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay. Are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries, and
Thompson.
Senator Thompson will carry the bill. And so with that, we will close the work session on House Bill 2457. We're done with the agenda for the day, so we are adjourned. We're done with the agenda for the day, so we are adjourned.